Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Today is April 9th. The Yankees took Game 1 in the Bronx against the Marlins on the Eclipse game. We're not talking about that. We're talking to Booney about a ton of other stuff. Come on. Series recaps later on.
Talking Yanks with old John Boy. John Boy and Jake.
Recaps galore. Weekly awards. Stat lines, steaming hot takes. Get your Yankees news from these two fine dudes. It's time.
Talking Yanks with old John Boy and Jake. Talking Yanks with old John Boy and Jake.
Hello and welcome to Talking Yanks, brought to you by SeatGeek. Thank you very much for joining us today. My name is Jimmy. His name is Jake, producer BBD behind the dish. And Booney will be joining us soon because it's the midweek episode. And also, mine and BBD's Slapball team will be making our grand debut tonight on the Warehouse Games channel. Jake's team won the first ever game of Slapball. Congratulations, Jake.
Thank you. Been a pretty big week, James. BBD, Sam's in the room. Sneaky. And yeah, my New York Yankees won their fastest game since 1992 last night against the Dead Fish. And then UConn with one of the more dominant college basketball runs a program has ever seen. So I'm, I don't know, it's feeling like a Jake year.
Wow.
Like the Yanks might as well win.
The whole year.
There was something else I wanted to win. I don't know.
Okay, something else.
How are you doing?
You were anti-Caitlin Clark, maybe? You wanted them to lose?
Love Caitlin Clark. How are you?
Okay. Good. Excited. Yesterday's game was interesting because I don't...
Why do you hate Caitlin Clark?
I love Caitlin Clark. Oh. I was pissed that she lost. Sucks. I'm actually, my YouTube right now is just a algorithm of Caitlin Clark and Haley Van Lith only. Yeah. Answering.
Only?
Dude, it's kind of, there's also sourdough bread baking because Katie's been baking a lot and I have the paid YouTube account. So she uses that. No ads. And then, yeah, a lot of post-game press conferences of Caitlin Clark and Haley Van Lith. Because I watched like three.
Sure.
Yeah. First short. Open my phone. Haley Van Lith.
Boom.
Yeah.
Zach Short.
And Zach Short. Well, how about that?
Zach Short.
The Marlins forgot to show up to game one.
What was that about?
That was the
little eclipse hangover?
You texted in the group chat like, have the Marlins been in this, what'd you say, like, has a single Marlin been in this game?
Yes.
And you really made me, like, think, like, I haven't taken in.
No.
There was never an at-bat where I was like, oh, shit, this guy's up. Or like, oh, wow, he's battling. Or, whoa, nice play. Or what a nice pitch. Like, I didn't have a single Marlin thought. It was
really odd. Oh, has that guy lined out to third twice?
It was very
odd.
Nothing. It was crazy.
Nothing.
And that's why it was the shortest, funnest.
There's like
simplest
one
game.
Tim Anderson ground out where I was like, okay, Tim Anderson.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it was nothing. I think the same dude got on base twice, and that was the only guy who got on base, De La Cruz. 7-0, Volpe Soto, 3-run homers. This isn't a recap, though.
It's not a recap.
It's just that the vibes are good. The story are undefeated in slapball. UConn men's basketball championship. Women's, a little disappointed, but we're coming back next year. And then there's another thing that I want to win this year that's not the Yankees, but I don't remember right now. Maybe Boone will have it.
Your Broncos?
No.
Your Rangers?
I'm not bandwagoning for them yet.
Well, it's not the playoffs.
Once the second round of the playoffs gets here.
Okay.
I can't bandwagon the first round of the playoffs. I just don't have no need for that.
That's fair. Yeah, so we got some questions for Boone. And yeah, like we said last episode when we talked to him, we're trying to navigate. Like, we can't just gush. We're like, oh, shit, how about Volpe? He's good. That homer, nice. So,
yeah, we got a lot of practice at having to do, like, tough interviews last year.
Yeah, when times are bad.
We're not sure how to do good ones yet, really.
Yeah, times are good. I don't have trivia. Do we have trivia for him?
Did you see that eclipse?
I'm not aware of any trivia we have.
Okay.
We'll brew something up.
Yeah, we'll brew something up.
We've got some time before we're supposed to join him. So.
Some good questions. So I'm excited to chat with him. Had to protect Volpe. That was new for him. You know, I don't know if that's ever been happened.
I'm curious if that's like he expects to do that a lot and Volpe just hasn't felt in a position to do it.
Hey, I'm here.
Yeah. You need me, Anthony?
I'm between these two men, so I'm doing my job. Sounds like BBD's dream.
Ooh. All right, let's kick it to Boone.
Before we go to Boone, can I tell you about Bloomberg's The Deal? I want to tell you about a new podcast and video series you're not going to want to miss. The Deal, co-hosted by Yankees legend Alex Rodriguez. I say, Poppy, can he play baseball? Every week, A-Rod and Bloomberg reporter Jason Kelly speak with big-time athletes, entertainers, and executives like Maria Sharapova, Michael Strahan, Derek Jeter, and more. The Deal takes you behind the scenes into the world of sports, media, and entertainment and dives into the wins, losses, and lessons learned along the way. That's kind of what life's about. From Bloomberg Podcasts and Bloomberg Originals, you can listen to The Deal on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Find The Deal with Alex Rodriguez, Apple, Spotify. Click the link, and we'll see you there or we'll see you here. Aaron Boone.
All right, welcome back to another Bantering with Boone. Boone, another winning streak, basically coming into a record day. But we're not going to gush this time and just tell you how good the team's doing. We're going to hard-hitting good questions.
All right.
We were a little embarrassed. We feel like we went a little too far Chris Farley mode with like, boys look good.
Hey, don't give in to the peer pressure.
They do look good.
Well, the boys look good.
The boys look really good. And last night was nice. You're getting new people in the mix. First topic I want to jump into, Stanton. You went out after game one against the Blue Jays and said, hey, it's just a matter of time. He's a streaky player. And people were kind of like, really, Boone? I don't know. And then he does what he did the next 3 days. So is there anyone specifically you want to call out and say, ha-ha, you were wrong and I was right?
No, we're 11 games into this. So, I mean, the proof will be in the season. And, you know, I like where guys are physically and what I believe they're capable of and what I believe we're capable of. But we still got to go do it. And, look, it's awesome getting off to a great start. And, you know, they don't take wins off the board because, you know, inevitably you're going to face tough moments and tough stretches. So, you know, you want to play as well as you can, whenever you can. And I think the most pleasing thing has just been the amount of ways we've been able to win games. It hasn't been us individually tearing the cover off the ball, but collectively we've had some really, really good team offensive at-bats, coupled with a few guys that have got off to good starts. The pitching across the board, you know, has given us a chance night in and night out. The bullpen's done their job. And I feel like we've been solid on defense and very opportunistic on defense. Like when there's been a winning play to be made, these guys have made it. And, you know, we got to continue with that focus and that mindset. And, but I love where this group is right now.
With Stanton, I pulled up a stat that was kind of crazy. It was about, you know, fastballs were the problem last year. And until 3 days ago, they seemed like they might be a problem again this year. And then he kind of, you know, got rid of that. He pulled, I think, 4 fastballs in the last 3 games. Last year, the stat I pulled up was in 274 swings at fastballs 93 or above, he had 4 hits where he pulled it. So there's clearly something different in his swing of late that he just didn't tap into last year. Do you think that has to do with the fitness, a swing change, or just anything? Health?
You know, which is tied into, I think, where he is as from a body standpoint. And you know, you've heard him talk a little bit about being in his legs and being dynamic in his legs in the box. He wasn't that last year. So, you know, it's like a Ferrari, not totally firing, you know. And the reality is, like, I just want him to be healthy, and then I think we have a chance to get the best version of G, because he still has elite bat speed, obviously elite strength. So if he's healthy and strong from a foundation in the box, he at least has a really good chance to go out and be successful. And the things I was seeing early was, yeah, he wasn't getting results, but I felt like they were competitive at bats. He wasn't, you know, massively chasing. He was firing off good swings. He was just missing a couple balls. But just as importantly, he feels healthy and strong in his legs and in the box. And that's been a bit of a challenge for him off and on over the last couple of years.
Closing the loop on G, and this is kind of from the fan perspective, it felt like he was sitting breaking ball a little bit. Like, did you feel that? Again, it was tough because we're talking about a 7-game sample size leading up to that. But, you know, there, and maybe it was a matchup thing, but again, he kind of wasn't connecting with fastballs. And like you said, he had a couple Giancarlo foul backs that it's like, ooh, if he lines up with that. But it felt like it was mostly breaking pitches. Do you think he was sitting that way at all?
No, I just think he's been in a good position to handle the, you know, you miss with the strike breaking ball. He's in good position to take advantage of that. But it starts with being on the heater.
Okay.
What was the conversation like with Luis Gil and the Angel Hernandez situation when, you know, there was a little bit of a stare down, a little upset with calls, and then they showed the dugout and you were having a pretty, it seemed like coaching moment. Is that wrong? Was that about Angel or about the game in general?
I mean, it was really like, I felt like it affected him in that inning a little bit. And, you know, that we got to stay away from, you know, like, You can be upset at a call. And frankly, I don't think Angel missed that many calls on that inning. He was missing the zone and getting, you know, a little bit emotional about it and maybe leaking in and affecting the next pitch. So that was just to try and redirect his focus, like, hey man, you're a beast out there. You're the man out there. Don't let, you know, a missed spot or a missed call or whatever it may be leak into the next pitch and the next hitter. You're too good for that. And I thought he did a really good job of just, all right, settling in, controlling the emotions, focused on going and executing your plan. You execute, you're going to be massively successful, Luis Gil. He knows that. And, you know, again, even though he didn't get through the fifth, he still kept them at bay and gave us a chance to win that ballgame.
The incident with the pitcher stepping off and then throwing the pitch with Glaber. Did you look into that after the game? Because I still don't even know what, I mean, it's got to be a balk, right?
I did. It should have been a quick pitch. You're not allowed to quick pitch. You are allowed to, obviously you can't disengage with no one on or it turns into a ball, right? But you can still disengage, but you can't just get on a quick pitch a guy. That's an umpire judgment. They should have ruled a quick pitch in that situation, which would have put him on first.
So once he steps off the rubber and then he steps back on, he's got to re-engage eye contact with the batter.
Yes. You can't just jump up there and boom, boom, boom. Right.
Okay.
For Gil, how much is it? I mean, the guy's so talented that his fastball, I mean, really isn't getting touched. That I know in that inning, there was a 2-0 pitch to Kirk, I think. And that was after the player's mound visit. And he throws the changeup, and again, the changeup, he threw a couple in that first inning that had our Talking Yanks group chat going. But, I mean, is that a coachable thing, or is that almost a little more hands-off because you got to let the pitcher and the catcher do their own thing? Because from our end, it seems like, hey, throw that good pitch.
The changeup or the heater?
The heater.
Yeah, so I think there was a little bit of that. You know, I'll get involved in that a little bit, but that's more – you know, Matt, the catcher, and him, but reminding him that, hey, you have an elite fastball. Don't lose sight of that. Like, you need your secondary pitches. It's been great to see those secondary pitches become a real factor in his arsenal. But don't remember, you know, why your Luis Gil is the elite fastball that you carry out there with you. So don't be aggressive. Be aggressive with that.
Who does I was going to ask you this last week, and we ran out of time a little bit. Does Hill remind you of anyone? Like, it doesn't have to be Yankee or anything like that, but I don't know. I've been looking for the comp, and I don't really have it.
Yeah, I don't know. Nothing's coming to mind. I can just tell you he's got an elite fastball, and it's, you know, there's, you can, you know, you probably count on one hand guys that match up fastball with him. You know, obviously Garrett comes to mind, but there's not a lot of fastballs around the game that Luis, with just his extension, the carry he gets on that pitch, the natural velocity he gets on that pitch. And I do think as the secondaries come along, it helps that fastball play even better.
With Nestor and Rodon, two guys bouncing back from, you know, seasons that they want to bounce back from last year, you've kept them with the same catchers. So Nestor's been with Trevino three times and Rodon with Wells. And Rodon and Wells built a rapport at the end of last year where they really liked working together. Is that something that you're doing cognitively, or is that something you're going to be aware of to not get stuck in personal catchers with those two?
Yeah. Is that cognitively or conscious?
Cognitively means to be aware of, like a cognitive decision. Am I wrong? I could be wrong. I'll Google it.
I think we should have gone consciously there.
No, I'm right.
I'm not saying you didn't define cognitively right. We digress.
Okay. We'll table that.
I'm going to digress.
Wells is catching tonight, but I have no apprehension of pairing Trevi with Carlos or Austin with Nestor. It's just been working out. Wells and Carlos have built a really good rapport together. But there'll come a time when Trevi's catching them and Wells is catching Nestor. It's more lined up just scheduling matchups and things like that.
So yeah. I know Jim will probably want to segue this to Oswaldo in a minute, but when you see the three lefties lined up for the Marlins this series, are you looking at the matchup for Trevino to start? Or I guess what's the thought process of, with your catchers going into a series that this is a little bit of an odd one? You're not going to see three lefty starters a lot.
Yeah, true. I'm playing Austin tonight. I'll probably play Trevi tomorrow. And then we go into Cleveland. I think we get righty, so it'll probably be Austin two out of three with obviously a day game out of there. So just kind of look at the week. It's fluid.
It's fluid.
Yeah.
I don't want to just, you know, not play Wells against lefties, because I do feel like he has a chance to really hold his own against lefties. I don't plan on hitting for him much late in the game, especially early in the season, off a lefty. There may be a real specific matchup in a real specific spot of the game, but you know, I do want to see him facing lefties as well.
Yeah, that pivots me to Oswaldo, because I saw the three games coming up against lefties, and I'm like, well, I get it. We got to see what we got in Birdie and give him his run, but Oswaldo has deserved to start, and he can switch it against certain pitchers. How do you find a way to get him in some of these games? And then the question we were talking about is, would there ever be give Verdugo a day against the lefty, have Oswaldo go to the outfield? Is that in the cards?
Yes. Yes, it's not today, okay. But that is something, you know, I want to get Jemai Jones in there for that matter, you know, because I really think Jemai can, you know, be a spark too when he's in there offensively at the bottom of the lineup, especially against some lefties. It's just, you know, a little tough to break up that crew right now. And, you know, Doogie coming off a really good night against a lefty. And those situations I do feel like will present themselves. And it's a long season. So, and I want to get Grish in there, you know, like, Grish, I feel bad. You know, I've only gotten him a couple starts, and then we roll into this three lefties. You know, I probably would have started him in the day game the other day, but G's coming off where I felt like, you know, really put together some really good at bats. Wanted to have him in there on that day game. The season will sort itself out, and guys are going to start to get their run naturally. But a little early going here, you know, it's been a little bit tough to get everyone as much run as they should, you know, so. But those things will occur as we go.
I love prioritizing. You know, you say Verdugo hit well, keep him in there, stands on a heater. We saw Oswaldo do the same. I know it may have been the same in the past. It sure feels like we're doubling down on that this year, more so in the past. Just, hey, guy had a great night. Let's run him out there again. So,
well, I mean, a part of that, like tonight, you got another and Puck, when he's on, can be really tough. You know, hopefully we can, you know, make it a challenge for him to come into the zone. But you also got Rodon on the hill, you know, fly ball pitcher. So, you know, having Doogie out there, you know, I really value that on the defensive side tonight and don't want to shake things up too much there as well.
No need to shake things up when you're 9-2, man. Again, we're liking that. Yeah. I do know Verdugo was in just a bad luck slump, and I think he went Sox down for the first time last night, and he ends up with 3 hits. I don't know. I guess you have any slump busters you used to use, and are we seeing any other, I don't know, superstition going around? The boys are 9-2. Like, we want to keep things going.
Yeah. You know, Doogie, yeah, I feel like he's been slowly getting there offensively, and he's one of those guys, as good a bat to ball as he is, once he gets rolling, he can get on those streaks where he throws out a lot of multi-hit games, you know, over a good stretch. The thing I've loved about Doogie is he's been, you know, I talk about everyone not being hot or all the things we've done to allow us to win a lot of games here early. Doogie's kind of embodied that. He's gotten some big hits for us. You know, sack fly, obviously the big home run and extra innings. Defensively, man, how many key plays has he made defensively? And how well has he played out there? So he's done a lot of winning things in the first 11 games while he's kind of finding his traction offensively.
I also, Boone, we were kind of laughing because we were like, well, we want to talk. And we got some Yankees. I do have a little trivia for you at the end. It's Boone trivia. I'm still trying to find our trivia lane. But wanted to ask you, and I mean, this has been something the Yankees have felt, but it's become the topic of baseball with the arm injuries and velo, pitch clock, all of it's getting timed in. Garrett spoke a little bit. Verlander got a quote in the other day. I guess want to get your thoughts on it because when – all the baseball people talking about it is fun, but it also feels like we don't have a great solution.
No. I mean, yeah. I mean, this has been an issue that people, you know, outside fans, people inside the game, certainly, you're certainly aware of what's been going on with pitchers and the evolution of pitching and, you know, what guys are able to do now from a training standpoint. And there is no easy answer. I think to dismiss certain things is silly too. I mean, I think there's a lot of things that may or may not be factors in guys getting hurt. And I think the velocity and the torque and the breaking balls and all that guys are throwing, the grip change. I don't think you can just dismiss pitch clock out of hand. You know, I thought Garrett said it well, and like, that's something that you'll have a better grip of 4 and 5 years down the road. Maybe it's nothing, but maybe it is something. Maybe it is one part of the chain. I thought Verlander talking about it yesterday, I actually watched his clip. I thought it was really thoughtful and insightful. It is an issue because, you know, you want your best players out there. Injury is part of sport. It's part of the game. But when you have it, you know, as widespread as it's happening with our pitchers today, I mean, what do you tell guys? Yeah, just go easy. That's not the answer. I mean, because this guy over here is ready to pounce on that. Who's saying, I don't care. I'm going to do anything I can to get to be a big leaguer. Right. So they're lining up for you. And I think, you know, one of the biggest differences, I actually talked to Garrett a little bit about this yesterday. To me, one of the biggest differences now obviously, you know, where pitching has gone and the velocity and the stuff and the explosive breaking balls and stuff. The difference now between Gerrit Cole and, say, the 15th or 20th pitcher in our organization is way smaller than Bob Gibson and the 8th guy on the Cardinal staff, Steve Carlton and the 7th guy on the Philly staff. Pick a guy when I played. They were true men among boys. And that certainly is still the case. Obviously, the Gerrit Coles of the world are great, but the 15th guy in our organization is pretty special, or something pretty unique and special and qualified about him that has closed that gap. And there's just more guys in the mix that can be kind of dynamic, even if it's in a short burst.
Yeah, I think stuff-wise, that's definitely true. You know, you got guys with the velo and the movement, putting it together in a mound, game planning, cat and mouse. I think Gerrit stands, you know, there's still that upper echelon. That just like,
yeah, and obviously that's then becomes a separator between starters and a one inning matchup reliever that's really good in a, you know, one inning setting against the right part of the lineup. Apples and oranges there. I'm just saying, you know, it's a lot different than even when I played.
Yeah, relievers used to be just, you're too old to start, so go to the bullpen. We were laughing at a bunch of the Red Sox rosters.
When I played, you know, you're well into the closer setup guys and stuff like that. So there were usually, you know, at least two or three guys in a bullpen that were, you know, that were legit. But then, you know, typically, you know, reliever 4, 5, 6, 7. And back then you only maybe had 6 or 7 relievers. Now you have 8. But reliever 4, 5, 6, 7, like, was a pretty big fall off. Now it's not so much the case, at least from a stuff standpoint.
Do you get caught up in, like, some of the theories getting thrown around are if they limit pitching staffs to less pitchers that you'll need more stretched out guys, or, you know, that people throw out that you lose the DH rule. Are you into either of those in the future?
Look, I think it's all worth considering and digging into, and I mean, it's definitely interesting thoughts and discussions. I don't know what the answer is, but I think it's worth talking about these things. On the surface, it's like, and I think part of MLB did do that a little bit by saying, oh, okay, you can only have 13 pitchers on a staff. Whereas, you know, there are times in the past where we would have 14, you know, if we were a little short, you know, can't do that anymore. Is it better to limit even more? But then you start, then you get in a situation where you're optioning guys left and right, or you are putting somebody at jeopardy on a given day. And that's, you want to protect against that as well. So I don't know what the answer. I think it should all be on the table, though, and you know, talking about it, because, you know, the injuries are a problem.
Your career numbers versus a reliever the second time you saw them, pretty nice. How about that? Really? Yeah, 904 OPS when you saw a reliever second at bat. Also, when you saw a starter 3 times, you crushed him. Did you learn as you go? Did you take the first at bat into the second and then them into the third?
I mean, probably, but not like when I was playing, I was not like, ooh, let me get this guy the third time.
Well, you weren't like, hey, he threw me off fastballs that at bat. Maybe he changed. Like, were you playing the game with the pitcher and the catcher a lot?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Of course.
Okay.
That's cool.
Jim, I don't want to blow up your spot here. There is a note that says the birdie bunt, I liked it. And
yeah,
you wrote that.
I wrote that. I liked the birdie bunt last night. You got 2 on base, first and second, no outs, 9 hole hitters up. We lead the Yankees lead the league in double plays. You just get that one out of the way, put 2 in scoring position for the top of the order. It's true. And then
that one out.
It is true. Get it out. And then a 3-run game can become a 5-run game. It becomes a 6 with the Soto homer. But on a single, it can become a 5-run game. Like, I thought it was really good small ball, which for a couple years, people hated that type of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I thought Birdie executed really well because I wanted him to be aggressive with it in that situation. So not just a blatant sack. I wanted to give himself a chance to even get a hit out of it. And I thought he did a really good job because he almost got it by the pitcher there. And then we're talking bases loaded, no outs. But worst case scenario, we're executed. We get, like you said, we got the top of the order coming up with a chance to pad a lead that, you know, we're in a game where, you know, Nestor's rolling a little bit. So just a good job by Birdie there of executing.
How do you relay the intent of the bunt? Is that part of the signs or do you pull them aside and just like say it? Or because it was the middle of the inning.
Yeah.
No telling. Okay. Probably part just hoping. Just eye contact and just like a hard nod.
We have our ways.
Okay.
Okay.
Did you ever think you'd have to get between Volpe and an umpire?
Yes.
All right. That's the first time he really showed, you know, hey.
Volpe gets sneaky pissed at umpires.
He worked really good at bats, and those strikeouts both were really good at bats.
Rightfully so. Yeah. Like you're throwing those at bats that he's throwing out there right now, and you get two called on you. I think both in 3-2 counts, right?
Yeah.
It was the first 2-2.
The second one was 3-2 for sure because he was 0-2 and he worked it into a walk. It was really good at bat. Gets right up. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you're having that level, the level of at bats that he's having, and you grind out a walk and know you did, yeah, I was irked for him. So, but he reins it in pretty well, but he gets mad.
I've been taken back by how much Soto talks to the ump the entire at bat. Almost every at bat. I mean, he's like working the ump like a manager does, basically.
He's in his office there.
Yeah.
He really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's holding the meeting in his office.
That's a good way to put it. All right, Jake, you want to hit some trivia on the way out?
Aaron Boone. Trivia.
Yeah.
And this is Aaron Boone trivia. So, and I kept it pretty clean. I'll start out wide. And I was surprised to see the most hits you had against a single pitcher is a little bit a guy who's in Yankee folklore. Who is it?
Oh, you mean career?
Career hits. One pitcher.
What do you mean he's in Yankee folklore?
I mean he's in Yankee folklore a little bit. What are you, fishing for clues?
Are you sure?
Kerry Wood?
So I had him in an upcoming trivia as... You only had two triples off of one pitcher, and that pitcher was Kerry Wood.
I think you have.
Oh, I do have.
You have most hits versus Yankee, is this pitcher.
You're high. So I had it sorted by batting average. You were 6-for-9 against a pitcher, which RotoWire has as basically your most successful at bats versus a pitcher. So I blew that one a little bit.
Messina?
No, you got Moose a couple times. Really good numbers against Moose. Him and Billy Wagner were a couple impressive ones on your pages that I was like, okay, Booney.
7-for-14 off him.
Sinker baller. Had a high and tight stint with the Yanks.
Yeah, no extra base hits.
6-for-9 all singles.
Sinker baller.
Wow, you went single, 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 ground out, single, double play, ground out, single. Opened up 5 or 6.
Be mad when you tell me.
Qinming Wong.
Wow, I would not have guessed that. I didn't know I faced him that many times.
6-for-9. We were a little surprised too. We were like, we didn't have that overlap, but
it was only three games.
3 games over 2 years.
But your first game you went 3-for-3 versus him. And he gave up 7 hits, so you were all of it. Did you enjoy sinker ball pitchers?
Not really.
Okay.
Just found the holes that day. All right, you had 6 pitchers that you had multiple home runs against. Give them to me, Boney.
Kerry Wood.
Hold.
Huh?
Yeah.
Say Kerry the next Wood. One.
Brett Tomko.
Yep.
Garrett Stevenson.
Yes.
Wade Miller.
Yep.
Uh, Mike Williams.
Mike Williams is on the list.
How many home runs?
Multiple.
You have 16 you've had multiple home runs against.
Whoa. What's this stat page doing to me?
You got
to
use Baseball Reference.
The King. Did I get Oswald twice?
Code BBD.
Yeah, you got Oswald twice.
You got Oswald twice. That, I think of the starting pitchers. Oh, there's another guy that stands out. Kerry Wood was only once.
No, twice.
Did you get...
Yeah, Kerry Wood was twice.
Was it a walk-off or something? I've got two triples. Did they cut you out for rounding the bases?
Two triples, two homers.
I heard my first career homer against them, and then I hit another one a few years later in Wrigley.
It's a good first career home run.
Gagne, mm-hmm. That's a nice one.
Oh, Gagne. That's right. I think I homered off of Gagne before his long streak started. I homered against him as a starter and a reliever. But I think the Reds, Adam Dunn and I bookend his long streak.
His scoreless? Oh.
The save streak. Yeah.
You got him and he buckled down.
Yep. So I can't be letting Boone take or lock in.
Josh Beckett's a fun name on here.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Beckett.
Dustin Hermanson is a name I don't know.
Yeah.
Dustin Hermanson.
Hermanson. Yeah. I don't know that one.
Hermanson.
Expos, Cardinals.
Wow. Closer. Devilish facial hair out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that looks like a cartoon evil guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you look wholesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Enjoy the game tonight. Go Yanks. Did you want to tell us the full lineup real quick?
Say that again.
Did you want to end with the lineup?
No. Leave you hanging on something.
All right. Perfect. See you, Boone.
All right. See you guys.
And there you have it. That was Bantering with Boone on this April 9th. A good conversation. I enjoyed it very much, to be honest with you. And you should go to shop.johnboymedia.com and see if there's any shirts that you would enjoy purchasing and wearing or gifting. Any takeaways, Jake?
I like the hand dog shirt. I got to get that one. Vibes are still high. Just like hearing any baseball person talk about the pitching stuff right now, there's the hand dog shirt.
Yeah, that's
one. Never using RotoWire for stats again. You guys are out.
Yeah, I've been out on them for a long time.
Canceled. So that's huge, and that's informative for the people. And I don't know. I was looking for a little more on the catcher insight, but I guess it makes sense just looking at the next series, like, Cleveland's got righties, so we'll...
I don't fully believe it yet.
Right. It's still early.
It's early, yeah. But Rodon was with Wells at the end of last year, and they were like a thing. We'll see. But, you know, you did have Wells catch a day after a night because he was with Rodon, and then that would have put... Or whatever it was.
I think it was because off day and lefties coming up.
Yeah.
So, like, you knew he was going to get at least two days off.
So, we've been thinking about the Marlins series. They were kind of playing defense with the two series surrounding the Marlins series.
I'm excited to see Wells tonight and hear that he's not going to get pinch hit for it. Because, obviously, because Trevi's not a hitter that you pinch hit. You know, so Wells should get at-bats against lefties. And Boone said, we're going to let him face lefties at the end of games, which you have to.
And not like they have
because you don't have
a non-Trevi obvious pinch hit.
You don't have a righty pinch hitter right now.
Booney alluded to it. Kind of a AJ Puckman is like nasty Chris Sale 6'7" from the side lefty. So kind of tough. But hey, if Austin Wells starts doing good things against lefties, it opens up like a whole different convo.
Yeah, great convo. He's still got the underlying stats, Wellesley, which I like.
Yeah.
I was looking pre-show, and he has 150 slugging percentage, and it's like a 750 expected slug, which expected stats are what they are, but that's a giant difference.
Yeah. Just working good at bats. You asked about Stanton, and you asked about the kind of like which pitches he's sitting on or taking, because we've been talking about that a lot. And I was going to save this for the episode, but I'll just build on it because Boone kind of just, he didn't give a solid answer there. And he might not even know about individual game plans. But Rousen, how do you pronounce it?
James Rousen.
because it spelled, I would say, Rosen. But Rosen. Everyone's been saying Rousen. Rousen had an interview that I think Cuddy, was it Cuddy or was it Kirshner? Cuddy in The Athletic, where he kind of talked about that a little bit with Stanton. And I thought, ooh, okay. I like that he actually offered some of that. He said, where was it? He said, he was talking about a lot of things going on with Stanton, but he said, sometimes pitchers don't work into your plan. They may not make pitches that work into your plan. Maybe they fall behind in the count because a guy made a couple good pitches. Then once in a while you get that pitch and you might foul it off. And he went on to say, the more he gets a feel for getting in that box and doing things as the season goes along, he won't miss the pitches he's supposed to hit. Pitchers are going to make more mistakes that work into the plan, and he's going to annihilate those. Which me, those two chunks kind of did talk about like guessing pitches or sitting certain pitches in certain at-bats, and he just wasn't getting them. And then...
Well, yeah, that Boone kind of said that. He said he was kind of sitting on breaking balls in the zone because he can do, like, maximum damage on those pitches.
Because he hadn't hit fastballs for a long time. And yeah, that's what was happening up until the second Blue Jays game when finally it looked like he was like, I'm going to crush the first fastball I see. He's been doing that in the last two Blue Jays games, and in this first Marlins game was, I'm going to crush the first fastball I see, and getting hits. So it did, to me, seem like a very switch in, like, plan of attack. And I thought it was interesting that Rousen kind of alluded to that a little with those quotes, which was good insight. Thanks, Brandon Cuddy of The Athletic.
And just one thing we alluded to with Boone, people just need to know what Dustin Hermanson's facial hair situation was looking like. There's some...
That's the most evil right there, which stuff. I love. And like the picture of him screaming right there. Yeah. I mean, he knew he was going for, I want to look evil.
Yes.
That guy plays the devil in like a Disney movie where the devil comes to your town. And like,
if the devil played baseball.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
The team would be, in that picture, would be the St. Louis Devils.
Yes. Really good stuff out of Dustin.
It's a really kind smile in that pic.
Though. I know.
If you only look at the smile.
There's pictures of him without it. Like, there's one with him with his son in the Google image search and without the facial hair. And you're like, oh, like.
You could be.
This is a sweet man.
A sweet man.
I don't know. I don't know anything about him. I know Boone lit him up.
Hermie Hive.
How about that?
Look at that.
Yeah. Still got the facial hair there, but...
His kid's probably around our age.
What do you think his name is? Little Dustin Hermanson?
Justin Hermanson.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Evil's new dentist.
Are you looking up his kid?
Through 2008, there has been no other major league player with the last name Hermanson. Although contemporary Chad Hermanson, spelled differently, had a similar last name. So he's the only Hermanson with an O-N at the end.
Oh.
Good for him.
I didn't know if the other one was double R-ing or something.
Third overall pick, Dustin Hermanson.
Really?
A baseball life.
Good job. All right, hey guys, go enjoy the baseball. The Yanks are good. Volpe's incredible to watch right now. Volpe's incredible. Tap your people in your room. Make your girlfriend or your wife say, hey, watch this one. You know, that was what 2017.
No, it's different from last year.
That was what 2017 Judge was. When he stepped in up to the box, anyone that was in the room with me, if they were watching or not, my girlfriend, her parents, hey, watch this. Watch this. It's going to be fun.
I mean,
Volpe's kind of got that going on.
I've been thinking about getting a Brett Gardner jersey. So,
Birdie's got similar neck to shoulder structure as Gardner.
D-Rob Gardy.
Yeah, I saw that.
His hair's in a nice tight spot. That's reminiscent.
Nice John Birdie has a good core.
Oh, nice bunt by Birdie. Loved it. Goodbye. See ya. Go Yanks. Tell him, Grams.
Go Yankees.
What do you think his secret indicator is?
Nothing.
I think it might just be there's never a pure sack bunt. You're always trying to bunt for a hit, and we take the sack as a result.
Hey, Birdie.
Yeah.
Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.